Dear President, dear Dean, dear faculty, dear students and staff, what a joy to lecture today. It's like a bird coming out of the cage and flying free. Yeah. No, I wouldn't say that. To be a bishop is to be a bird in a cage. But to return to teaching is always a great joy. So I apologize because my habitus docendi has weakened. You know, the teaching of St. Thomas Aristotle on virtue, virtus est quae bonum facit habentem. Virtue is what makes good whom who has the virtue. So, of course, a virtue needs exercise, and my virtue of teaching has not so many occasions. Preaching, yes, a lot, but teaching. And even greater is my joy to begin this term with you, not really lecturing on St. Thomas, but doing what ITI does in its methodology, to read together a text. You haven't had the time to prepare the texts, I guess, because you came back from the break, the semester break. Perhaps some of you might have already gone through the text this night. But I will be indulgent this morning, and I'm not a faculty, so I do not take exams whether you have well prepared the text. But you can examine whether I have well prepared the text. I thought in the year of mercy, in the Jubilee year, on mercy, it is good to ask St. Thomas Aquinas, what does he teach on mercy? And of course, when we ask what is the teaching of St. Thomas on mercy, we must always look first at the architecture. As I try to look with you at some texts of the Summa, when you try to read St. Thomas, never start immediately reading the text, but always look where is this text located in the architecture, in the Gothic cathedral of the theological Summa, because it's an architecture and a very, very precise architecture. And the details have always their place in the architecture. So when we read today two texts on mercy, from the first part and the Secunda Secunde, we first ask, where is it located? And what the location of the text tells us about the content of the text. So, of course, you all know the plan of the Summa. I guess Dani has taught you enough, no? Never enough, but Dani has, I hope, has taught you about the plan of the Summa. Can I presuppose that you know the plan of the Summa? I give you a very short summary, because the great architecture shows the meaning of the detail in the architecture. So we have in the Summa three parts. Do you understand Latin? Some very well, yeah. Quia principalis intentio huio sacre doctrine est, Dei cognitionem tradere. This is the prologue to the question 2 in the first part. which is the decisive prologue, because it outlines the plan of the whole Summa. Principalis intentio huius sacre doctrine. The primary intention of this sacred doctrine. He never speaks about theology. Theology is the philosophical teaching on God. The revealed teaching on God is sacra doctrina. Sometimes he simply says sacra pagina, the word of God. The revealed teaching. The intention of theology, and this addresses all of you, faculty and students, and I remember what I have taught last time when we spoke about what is theology in the sense of St. Thomas. Intentio huius sacre doctrine est de cognitionem tradere. These three words, you have the sum of the sum. De cognitionem tradere. To convey, to transmit the knowledge of God. But de cognitionem tradere can have two meanings. It can be objective and subjective, genitive. De cognitionem, that can mean our knowledge of God through natural intelligence, as we can know God through nature, through intelligence, but it means also the revealed knowledge of God. But there is a deeper meaning, de cognitionem tradere, the knowledge God has of himself, to transmit it, to convey it to us. That's the meaning of revelation. God reveals himself and gives us a share in his own knowledge, so that, as St. Thomas often says, intelligence is quaedam sigillatio divine cognitionis. It's like an imprint of God's self-knowledge in us. But this we had in my last lecture, and I guess you have all forgotten what I taught last time, therefore it's good to repeat it shortly. Non solum secundum quod in se est, sed etiam secundum quod est principium rerum et finis earum. Not only as far as God and God's knowledge is the principle, the origin of all things and the end of all things, the final end, but, and especially the reasonable creature, us and the angels. Don't forget the angels, reasonable creatures. Ad huius doctrine expositionem intendentes, primo tractabimus de Deo, to realize the exposition of this sacred doctrine, we treat first about God, that's the prima pars. Secundo, de modu rationalis creature in Deum. That's the entire second part. Erroneously, we say the moral teaching of St. Thomas, but it's his anthropology, it's his teaching on the human destiny, the way, the modus rationalis creature in Deum, to reach God, to come into his innermost life. That's the entire meaning of the secunda pars. It's not only morals, it's the entire human way to God. And beginning, as you know, with beatitude as the final end of this way, that orients the entire way, because the end orients the way. So, de modo rationalis creature in Deum. And the third part, de Christo, secundum quod homo via est nobis tendendi in Deum. And the third part is on Christ, as far as he is, as a man, incarnation, the way for us to tend into God, to reach God in his innermost life. So that's the menu of the Summa. Yeah. at the first page, St. Thomas says, this is for the incipientes, for the beginners. Yeah. Very simple for the beginners. And it must be, he wanted to make it short, the Summa, yeah, short and understandable. Yeah. Understandable it is, really. So, the architecture of St. Thomas is always full of symbolics. The medieval architecture was rich in number symbols. The St. Stephen's Cathedral in Vienna, all the measures are 4 and 3. 4 and 3. That's clear. 4 is the created world, and 3 is the God number. Yeah. 3 and 4. The Summa, the treatise on God, begins really with question 3, De Simplicitate Dei. Thomas is tricky. Yeah. De Simplicitate Dei, question 3. Yeah. You understand. God is one, triunion, united. He is the one God in three persons. De Simplicitate Dei. And the treatise on God goes from De Simplicitate Dei till question 26, De Beatitudine Dei. De Beatitudine Dei. The happiness of God. Can we say the happiness of God? Yes. Yes. The beatitude of God. You remember the first phrase of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, yeah. Deus in se ipsum infinite perfectum et beatus. This is the first part of the treatise on God, God in himself. And at question 27 begins the treatise on Trinity. Does it do the bells ring, 27? Symbolism. The treatise on Trinity begins with the question 27. Three, drei hoch drei, how to say? Drei hoch drei.
Three to the third power.
Three to the third power. And the treatise on Trinity ends with the question 43. And the question 43 is the question of the divine missions. The God sending the Son and the Holy Spirit to create and to renew and to save the world. 43 is the end of the treatise on Trinity. 3 and 4. It's very obvious, like the cathedral, St. Stephen's Cathedral, the symbolism of the numbers. Yeah. And with 44 begins the treatise on creation. 4 is always the symbolic number of creation. Just a short insight. The treatise on the life of Jesus begins in the third part with question 27, by chance. 27, 3, potens 3, yeah, and ends after 33 questions. the treaty on the life of Jesus. Yeah. That's like Bach in his music. He has always this kind of symbolism. That's typical for the Christian tradition. Yeah. But now, where is located the question of mercy? The question of mercy is, we must specify the content of the treatise on God from question 3 to quest 26. Yeah. We have first, what can we know about God? How can we name God? What are the essential properties of God? Goodness, eternity, and so on. And then Thomas moves to the operations of God. He is the living God. So he operates. And the first operation is his intelligence. And his second operation is his will. And the third operation is De Potentia Dei. It's mainly the treatise on providence, the acting of God. De hisque ad operationem ipsius pertinent. In the treatise on the will of God, the first point, of course, is his will is love. God is love. So his will is goodness. And in the frame of this treatise on goodness comes the question of mercy. Take your text at hand, question 20, in the treatise on the operations of God. In the prologue to question 20, the question before, the question is De Amore Dei. And St. Thomas says, you must always read these little prefaces in, because they give the architecture of the Summa. So if you want to have the real plan of the Summa, you must write together all these little prologues to the different questions, and they show you perfectly the architecture. What belongs to the love of God? De Amore Dei. In parte appetitiva, this is in the question 20, you have not yet the text. In parte appetitiva, inveniuntur in nobis et passiones animae, ut gaudium, amor et huius modi, et habitus moralium virtutum, ut justitia fortitudo et huius modi, unde primo considerandum est de amore Dei, secundum de justitia Dei et de misericordia eius. The big question is mercy a passion? Because it affects us. Is misericordia a passion? And can a passion be in God? We know that passions are in us. Yeah? But is passion compatible with the perfection of God? And of course, the question, the big question we are all confronted with is the relation between justice and mercy. Justitia et misericordia. So let us have a look at this question 21, which begins with the question whether in God is justice. I have not printed this article 1. Of course, in God is justice. Is God's justice, also his truth, is question 2, article 2. And as third article comes the question whether in God is mercy, misericordia. That's what we are looking at now. And of course, the question mainly is how they relate justice and mercy. Justitia et misericordia. You all know how to work with the Summa, I guess. And if you do not know yet, you will learn it very soon, because this is core teaching of ITI. You know how it works. You have always a question. Let's take this question, Article 3. A tertium sic procedito, videtur quod misericordia Deo non competat. It seems that mercy cannot be attributed to God. It's a thesis. Yeah. And then follow some objections, some arguments that show that that should prove that this statement is true. But then comes always, on the contrary, sit contra. And you have always the balance between the arguments in the one sense and in the opposed sense. And in the responsio, you have the solution the master gives. And when we have studied the solution, then we can also find the replies to the objections. It's a funny test. If you are really fanatics of St. Thomas, you can try, you can test and take an objection and then discuss what could be the answer of St. Thomas to the objection. If you are well trained, you little by little you will find yourself the answer. It's a very pedagogical method. And you must know, in St. Thomas, no objection is forbidden. And I think at ITI, no objection should be forbidden. Every question can be raised. I had a teacher who said, there are no stupid questions, there are only stupid answers. Well, this is perhaps flattering the students. But now let's start with the sit contra. Sit contra est quod dicitur in psalmo. I take the Latin text, you have the English text at the right side. Misericordia est Deo maxime attribuenda. Maxime attribuenda. Absolutely, we must say, in God is mercy. Miserator et misericors Dominus. God is merciful. Or as Pope Francis says in this beautiful interview, I really recommend to read it, the name of God is mercy. Tamen secundum effectum, non secundum passionis affectum. Don't be surprised, that sounds very dry. Normally we say, oh, God is full of compassion. Who is more compassionate than God? How can St. Thomas say, non secundum passionis affectum? Well, he explains, ad cuius evidentiam considerandum est, quod misericors dicitur aliquis quasi habens miserum cor. Having sorrowful at heart, miserum cor. Quia scilicet Ficitur ex miseria alterius per tristitiam, axi estet eius propria miseria. Here we find the first definition of mercy. What is mercy? To be affected by the suffering of the other as it were your own suffering. In neurology studies, there's fascinating the studies on the Spiegelneuronen, mirror neurons. Yeah. Why is it when somebody cuts and is bleeding, you have yourself, you have this movement of fright. As if you feel it yourself. Neurologically, it's studied now, it's discovered that this is in our neurons, there's like a mirror that the pain of another is mirrored in us so that we feel his pain. This is, so to say, the natural basis of mercy, of compassion. Animals do not have it, probably. We don't know. But human have. And if human have not this reaction, we say there's something seriously lacking in humanity. Yeah. If you do not feel the pain of the other, at least in a movement of compassion, there's something profoundly lacking in humanity. So the question is God not affected by our pain? St. Thomas apparently seems very dry, very nearly severe. Et ex hoc sequitur quod operetur ad depellenda miseriam alterius, sicut miseriam propriam. Et hic est misericordiae effectus. If we feel the pain of the other, we want to help the other to overcome the pain. This is the natural reaction. And this is the misericordiae effectus, the work of mercy. You know the classic teaching of the Church on the works of mercy. Pope Francis has the other day, in a meeting with religious, he has asked the crowd, all religious, do you know by heart the works of mercy? Could you enumerate them? I have the list with me. So the important for Thomas is not only the feeling but the acting. If you feel the pain of the other and you do not act accordingly, then you are not really merciful. You may have compassion, but mercy, misericordia, means always the acting accordingly. Tristari ergo de miseria alterius non competit Deo. To be saddened, to be sad about the suffering of the other does not compete to God. Is that true? Is St. Thomas here not too severe, too dry, too intellectual? You must be careful with St. Thomas. If you have a kind of romantic reading, you are often disappointed with St. Thomas. You must dig deeper and try to understand the deeper reason. Why does he say God is not sad sorrow over the misery of others belongs not to God. It's the key question. Yeah? It wouldn't be enough if God had sorrow about our pain. It's much more he does what we need to overcome our pain. And his mercy, repellere miseriam alterius hoc maxime ei competit, ut per miseriam quemcunque defectum intelligamus. Thomas gives a very wide understanding of misery. Misery is not only financial misery, which we always have at ITI. It is not. It's not only the misery of bodily pain, disease or hunger. It is whatever defect, whatever is lacking, whatever be the defect we call by that name, by the name of misery. Why and how is God acting against all our defects? Defectus non tolitur nisi per alicuius bonitatis perfectionem. Prima autem origo bonitatis Deus est. Thomas shows us that God's mercy is not to be sad about us, but his entire being goodness, whatever he does is work of mercy. Whatever he gives us, whatever he creates and sustains in his goodness is his mercy. His mercy is his being. It's not only an act passager, a passing act, a passing mood, an affection, as we are sometimes affected by the misery of others and then we forget. His being is goodness, and therefore his being is acting against our defects, is mercy, is misericordia. I think we can drop the rest of the corpus articuli and end with the last sentence. Solum propter suam bonitatem, non propter utilitatem suam. He does not need, in quantum vero non attribuit rebus perfectionis propter utilitatem suam. God does not give perfection to the beings to improve himself or to fulfill himself, to realize himself. We always have to realize our being, realize ourself. God has no need to realize himself. Whatever he does, he does not propter suam utilitatem, sed solum propter suam bonitatem. Et hoc pertinet ad liberalitatem. In quanto vero perfectiones date rebus a Deo, omnem defectum expellunt, pertinet ad misericordiam. Insofar as he gives everything, his goodness is liberalitas. This is the next question after the mercy question, is God's liberalitas. He is infinitely generous. Infinitely magnanimous. His magnanimity is a question, the following question in St. Thomas. God's magnanimity. And insofar as he expels defects, this belongs to his mercy. Mercy is not only a partial doing here and there by God, but it is his very being. And insofar, we can say, it's not said here, it's in other works of St. Thomas, where he says, in certain sense, mercy is God's highest attribute. And we have a short look on the text on justice and mercy. The next page, Article 4. Perhaps we can take the objection of the previous article, reply to objection 2. Where the question was, sometimes God is acting according his justice, sometimes according his mercy. Is it like that? And Thomas shows that he's always acting more than his justice, and that's his mercy. Let us read the reply to objection 2. Ad secundum dicendum, quod Deus misericorditer agit, non quidem contra justitiam suam facendo, sed aliquid supra justitiam operando. Do you have the text? It's the end of Article 3. End of Article 3. The pages are not numbered. Ad secundum dicendum, reply to objection 2. You have the text? Yeah. He does not act in his mercy against justice, but more than justice. Sicut si aliqui, cui debitum centum denarii, aliquis ducentos det de suo. Tamen non contra justitiam facit, sed liberaliter, vel misericorditer operator. Somebody in justice has to give 100 denar, 100 pieces of money, but he gives 200. He does not act against justice. He acts over justice. He does more than justice, because he acts liberaliter in his magnanimity or in his mercy. And at the end of this number, this objection 2, ex quo patet quod misericordia non tollit justitiam, sed est quedam justitiae plenitudo. Quedam justitiae plenitudo. Unde dicitur, in James chapter 2, quod misericordia super exaltat judicium. Mercy is not against justice, but it goes over justice. It's more than justice. Let's take the responsio to Article 4, the relation between mercy and justice. The sit contra, you know, when you get used to St. Thomas, you learn to discern the white of an argument. If he quotes in the sit contra Aristotle, it's the philosophus, yeah, it has a certain importance. But if he quotes scripture, Yes, it's always of great importance. A quotation of scripture is always the most powerful argument in theology, not in philosophy. Yeah. In philosophy is the argument of reason. In theology is the argument of authority. Divine scripture is the highest authority. Therefore, when he quotes scripture, that's always very important. Sed contra est quod dicitur in Psalmo, omnes vie Domini misericordia et veritas. Do you have the text? Yeah. On the contrary, Psalm 24. Respondio. Respondio means now the master speaks. Yeah. The students have given their arguments. If you look at the Questiones Disputate in St. Thomas, that's very funny, because Questiones Disputate are the academic tournoi. Yeah? Le tournoi, how do you say in English? Les chevaliers, le tournoi des chevaliers. The intellectual tournoi. The intellectual chevaliers. You have sometimes in the Questiones Disputate up to 20 arguments in the one sense, 20 arguments in the opposite sense. They are disputing, yeah, giving arguments pro and contra. At the end comes the master. The master gives the answer, yeah, the responsio. But then at the end, the master must also give the solutions of the pro and contra arguments. And it's in these solutions that the master shows his mastery. So, respondio, the master speaks. Respondio dicendum, quod necesse est, quod in quolibet opere Dei misericordia et veritas inveniantur. In quolibet opere Dei. Thomas is, you must always look very carefully at the phrasing. When he starts an argument saying, necesse est, this is very powerful. Yeah? About that you can't argue. It's necessary to say that in every work of God is mercy and justice, truth. Mercy and truth. No, in quolibet opere Dei. There is no false work and there is no merciless work. Si tamen misericordia pro remotione cuiuscunque defectus accipiato, quam vis non omnis defectus proprie possidici miseria, sed solum defectus rationalis nature, quam contingit esse felicem, nam miseria felicitati opponitur. Huius autem necessitatis ratio est quia cum debitum quod ex divina justitia reditur, sit vel debitum Deo, vel debitum aliqui creature, neutrum post in potest in aliquo opere Dei pretermiti. From God's side, his works are always justice, whether regarding himself or regarding his creature. Non enim potest facere Deus aliquid, quod non sit conveniens sapientiae et bonitati ipsius. Secundum quem modum diximus aliquid esse Deo debitum, debitum Deo. The idea that God could do something contrary to wisdom and justice is the typical nominalistic conception. In the Thomistic view, and I think in the Catholic view, You never can imagine that God could command an evil. The nominalist said that God can even command an evil, as he can make square circles, or wooden iron, or illogical things. For the nominalistic conception, God is not bound to truth and justice, which is a terrible concept of God, because there's no trust possible to God. And therefore it is so vital that necesse est dicere quod opere Dei misericordia et in quolibet opere Dei inventiantur veritas et misericordia. God cannot behave like a tyrant or like a liar, like a betrayer. Omnes vie Domini misericordia et veritas. And therefore, God is absolutely trustworthy. We can rely on him. Similiter etiam quid in rebus creatis facit, secundum convenientem ordinem et proportionem facit. Whatever God acts in creature, he does in a convenient order and in the right proportions. In quo consistit ratio justitiae, et sic oportet in omni opere Dei esse justitiam. God's work are always justice. Opus autem divine justitiae semper presupponit, and now this is the key question, and then we make a break because we'll get tired. Presupponit opus misericordiae. Wow. That's the main sentence of what I wanted to read with you this morning. Opus autem divine justitiae semper presupponit opus misericordiae et in eo fundatur, is grounded in mercy. God's justice is not opposed to mercy, but it's grounded in mercy. Creature enim non debetur aliquid nisi propter aliquid in eo preexistens, vel preconsideratum. Et rursus, si aliud creature debetur, hoc erit propter aliquid prius. In the creature is always something presupposed. But this presupposition cannot be a regress in infinitum. Et cum non sit procedere in infinitum, oportet devenire ad aliquid, quod ex sola bonitate divine voluntatis dependet, quest ultimus finis. A little bit further, et sic in quolibet opere Dei apparet misericordia quantum ad primam radicem eius. The ground of all God's work is mercy, cuius virtus salvato in omnibus consequentibus, et etiam vehementius in eis operator sicut causa primaria, vehementius influit quam causa secunda. God's mercy works more powerful in all secondary causes, because his mercy is his primary cause, is the primary cause. All his works are mercy. Et propter hoc etiam ea, quae aliqui creature debentur, Deus ex abundantiae suae bonitatis largius dispensat quam exigat proportio rei. God gives much more than would be necessary from the need of the creature. Much more he gives. Minus enim est quod sufficeret ad conservandum ordinem justitiae, quam quod divina bonitas confert, quae omnem proportionem creaturae excedit. His mercy is excessive. It's excessive. And this is his very being. This is not a super addition. It's his very being. So, just to have a short look at the Secunda Secundae, what Thomas says about mercy in the life of in the fullness of human life. First, I remember the Secunda Secundae, the second part of the second volume is mainly on the virtues. Fides, Spes, Caritas, the three theological virtues, and then the four cardinal virtues, Prudentia, Justitia, Fortitudo, Temperantia. The seven virtues are the core of the Secunda Secundae. Where does Thomas locate mercy in his treatise? Not with the virtue of justice, but in the treatise on charity, Caritas. It's very interesting. Mercy for him is a part of love more than a part of justice. You remember, love, Caritas, is understood by Thomas as an amicizia, friendship. Love is primarily friendship. Friendship between humans and friendship to God. And then he, where is love located in the human powers, in the human acts? It's a part of human will. Volo ut sis is the shortest definition of love given by St. Augustine. Volo ut sis. Love has first to do with willpower. Volo ut sis. I amo. Volo ut sis, says St. Augustine. I love, that means I will that you are. I will that you are. So, Thomas then treats the effects of charity, the interior effects and the exterior effects. What is the result of love? And he gives three interior effects of love. Love produces gaudium, joy, surprised by joy. That's the fruit of love. Yeah? The first fruit of love is joy. The second fruit of love is peace. Where love is, where love as friendship is, there is joy. There is peace, and there is mercy. These are the three fruits, the three effects of love. When we live out charity, love, we experience these fruits, joy, peace, and mercy. And what are the exterior effects? The exterior effects of love? Beneficentia, good doing, yeah? Beneficentia, elemosina, almsgiving, do charity, doing of charity. And the third very interesting, the exterior effect of charity, very important for every community, correctio fraterna. St. Thomas considers the correctio fraterna, fraternal correction, as a fruit, an exterior visible fruit of love. He says it's est quaedam elemosina, it's a work of almsgiving, yeah? Telling the brother and the sister charitably its faults, her faults or his faults, is a work of almsgiving, work of charity. And then, of course, he treats the vices opposed to charity. And here we are in the midst of the world, of today's world, odium, hatred, yeah, acedia and invidia, opposed to joy. The opposite to joy is acedia, bitterness, yeah, invidia. The opposite to peace is discordia and schismata, divisions. And the opposite to beneficentia and correctio fraterna are de offensione et scandalo. But now let's have a very short look. We have only 10 minutes left for the Article 1 of question 30 in the seconda seconde. Do you have the said contrary? Damascenus dixit. Do you have it? Yeah. Sed contra est quod Damascenus dicit in secundo libro de fide orthodoxa. Quod misericordia est species tristitiae, sed motivum ad tristitiam est malum, ergo motivum ad misericordiam est malum. Misericordia has to do with misery. Misery. Compassion with misery. Dicendum, quod sicut Augustinus dicit in De Civitate Dei, misericordia est aliene miserie in nostro cor de compassio, quae utique si possumus subvenire compellimur. Dicitur enim, misericordia ex eo quod aliquis habet miserum cor super miseria alterius. That's again the repetition, always St. Thomas repeats, that's pedagogy. Compassio aliene miserie in nostro corde. If somebody is incapable to feel compassion in his heart, he, with the misery of others, he is really damaged in his humanity. Miseria autem felicitati opponitur. Est autem de ratione beatitudinis sive felicitatis, ut aliquis potiatur eo quod vult, nam sicut Augustinus dicit, beatus qui habet omnia quae vult, et nihil mali vult, et idio, e contrario, ad miseriam pertinet ut homo potiatur quae non vult. Misery is to suffer something you do not want. And St. Thomas then gives three grades of mercy, kind of growing mercy. I pass to the next page. Sic igitur motivum misericordiae est tamquam ad miseriam pertinens. Primo quidem illot quod contrariato appetitui naturali volentis, silicet mala corruptiva et contristantia, quorum contraria hominis naturaliter appetunt. Unde philosophus dicit, Aristoteles dicit, quod misericordia est tritia quedam super apparenti malo corruptivo et contristativo. The first grade of compassion, of mercy, is to have compassion with the visible evil, to have compassion with the refugees. It's manifest. They suffer corruptivum corruptivum et contristativum malum. They suffer the compassion, mercy with refugees is so to say the most elementary grade of compassion. Second grade of mercy, huius modi magis efficiuntur ad misericordiam provocantia si sint contra voluntatem electionis, unde et philosophus ibidem dicit quod illa mala sunt miserabilia, quorum fortuna est causa puta cum aliquot malum eveniat unde separabatur bonum. Result of an accident. We had this avalanche, people killed by the avalanche yesterday in the mountains. It's a normal compassionate reaction. An accident has happened. They haven't chosen this situation. It came over them. But the highest grade is the tertio. Sunt atuc magis miserabilia si sunt contra totam voluntatem puta, si aliquis semper sectatus est bona et eveniunt ei mala. Et idio philosophus dicit in eodem libro, quod misericordia maxime est super malis eius qui indignus patitur. That's the compassion of the friends of Job, Hiob, who has been overwhelmed by evil, has been doing good his whole life, and then suffers so much evil. So St. Thomas only wants to show that there are grades of compassion. And I would add, and we finish with that, previously St. Thomas has treated a very important question for today, is the so-called Ordo Caritatis. That's two questions earlier. He treats the question of Ordo Caritatis. Yeah. Ordo Caritatis. Misericordia. There's a certain order in mercy. There are grades of mercy. There are grades of charity. It's an order in charity. I knew a parish priest nearby here. He took care of refugees. But he took care of refugees so much that he gave up the care of his parish. And his parish perished. Because he didn't take care of his parish. He only took care of refugees. This is contrary to the Ordo Caritatis. If a father or a mother takes care only of the misery of others and doesn't take care primarily of her children, of her family, then something is wrong in the Ordo Caritatis. But the Ordo Caritatis means also that If your neighbor's house is burning and the child is inside, you have to leave your kitchen. And you can't say the soup is on the stove and I can't leave now. Yeah, you must run and save the baby. That's the order caritatis according the grades of mercy. And in the actual political discussion, this question of ordo caritatis is very important. What is our obligation to refugees? What is our obligation to the people living here? Yeah. What are the criteria to distinguish the ordo caritatis, the order of mercy, the grades of mercy? So, we end with the last lines of this page, where the question is, can we have mercy with sinners? I read just the last 7-8 lines of the same page here. Yeah? Ad primum dicendum. Secundum hoc miseremo et compatimur peccantibus, quod vera justitia non habet dedignationem silicet ad peccatores, sed compassionem. In Matteo dicitur, videns Iesus turbas, misertus est eis, quae erant vexati, et iacentes sicut oves non habentes pastorem. Sin has, as is said in the first three lines, quantum ad hoc non habet rationem miserabilis, et magis rationem puniendi. As sin is a thought coming through free will, it deserves punishment and not mercy. Sins deserves punishment and not mercy. But, sed, quia culpa potest esse aliquo modo pöna, in quantum silicet habit aliquid annexum, quod est contra voluntatem peccantis, secundum hoc potest habere rationem miserabilis. Because sin has bad consequences, miserable consequences, we can have mercy with the sinner, not because of his sin, but because of the consequences of the sin he has to endure. And I think this is the mercy we need between us, and I think the mercy that God has with us, seeing our misery as consequences of our sins. So, let us pray the Angelus. Angelus Domini annunciavit Mariae. Ave Maria, gratia plena Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus.
Santa Maria, Mater Dei,
Ecce ancilla Domini. Ave Maria, gratia plena Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Et verbum caro factum est. Ave Maria, gratia plena Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Jesus.
Santa Maria, Mater Dei,
ora pro nobis peccatoribus,
nunc et in hora mortis
nostre. Amen. Ora pro nobis, Sancta Dei Genetrix.
Ut digni efficiamur crucis Christi.
Oremus. gratiam tuam quesumus Domine mentibus nostris infunde, ut qui angelo nunciante Christi fili tu incarnationem coniovimus, per passionem eius et crucem ad resurrectionis gloriam perducamur, per iundem Christum Dominum nostrum.
Amen.
Fidelium anime per misericordiam Dei requiescant in pace.
Amen.
Gratias. Agimus.